The Lord spoke to me and said to get into the royalty of blood, or the royalty that is in your blood. Are you guys with me? So last week we spoke on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That he did not count, maybe I didn't let that out here, maybe I got it out in Kruger's store because it wasn't life, I'm not sure. But was it here also? That he did not count it robbery. He not deem it robbery to be counted equal with God. So he's saying, what mind do I want to be in you? That you must know your identity. That it comes to that we are heirs of God. Heirs with Christ. Are you guys with me? That there is a sonship, there's a royalty. So when we speak about royalty, many people understand royalty. It's all over the world. You have the monarchy. We understand royal blood. We understand that if the king or if the queen has to die, which she did, they immediately crown the king. Are you guys with me? It doesn't matter if he was in 10 nightclubs before. It doesn't matter if he lived a naughty lifestyle. He is still crowned as king. So there is something in scripture where God wants us to have give our attention when the Bible says that he made us to be kings and priests. There is an erroneous gospel in that has been spread a lot, and doctrine that has been spread a lot, where they say that businessmen are kings. And you know, I know we called our we call encounter kings and so on, but we've never stuck to the terminology where I say that this one is a king because they're in a business. And it is an erroneous gospel, because the Bible says that he made us to be kings and priests, meaning that a king should be a priest and a priest should be a king. When you study in the Old Testament, the kings and the priests could not work together in the same office. Under the Levitical priesthood, a king couldn't be a priest and a priest couldn't be a king. So how did David put on the effort while he was a king? The effort is for the priest, meaning that the moment he put on the effort, he was supposed to die. Are you guys with me? How did he go in and ate the showbread? He was supposed to die. So he operated in both a kingly and a priestly function. And the reason he did it is because he operated under the order of Melchizedek, which is speaking of the order of grace. I don't know if you guys are with me. It is being foretold or being told via a bit of speculation that David received the key of Melchizedek because of a way that he broke into the city where he set up his throne, when they ambushed him and he went down a tunnel and he had to protect his life, and he had a key from a gate to go into a place where he built the throne and the tabernacle of David. But the way that he got in there, they reckon that he got the key, physical key of Melchizedek, because on that very same place Melchizedek ruled from. Some say Melchizedek is Christ. Some say he's a Benahai Elohim, creature from heaven. Some say he was just a very strong person. Or some say he's a superhuman. Those are the arguments, and all of them are very valid, because of he had no beginning of days and end, and he had no mother or father. But some are that he's not Christ, because the Bible says he's like unto Christ. So, so there's an order of Melchizedek that was outside of the Mosaic order. The Mosaic law had a law, but Melchizedek had a different law. Let me explain to you. Moses had a law where you had to, were bound by works. Melchizedek had a law of grace. They operated, everybody with Melchizedek operated on a whole nother level. They didn't have to do sacrifices. So when David caught that key, he built a tabernacle, and in that tabernacle was the tabernacle of David. There was no sacrifices being done. It was worship, 24-hour worship. And for some reason, and even though David committed adultery with Bathsheba, it was just quickly forgiven. He was supposed to be stoned to death or to be removed by his kingship at the very least. And it was overlooked. Why? He tapped into the order of Melchizedek, which is the order of grace. And he said, as Melchizedek, because I found a key, not only a physical key, but I found a key of revelation that takes me 1,000 years back to Melchizedek's order, and is going to give me 1,000 years into the future to grab a hold of the grace that Jesus Christ is bringing. And I put them all together. into one place, and I'm building up my tabernacle. So you had the order of Melchizedek. You had the order of David, the tabernacle of David. And that is why Jesus Christ had to come out of the lineage of David. I don't know if you guys are with me. That is why David's throne will be established forever. Melchizedek is a priest forever. So David realized, but wait, as Melchizedek did it, I have to do it. He began to read prophecies, began to read scriptures, and he said, as he is a priest forever, my throne is going to be forever. But I'm going to tap into grace. I'm going to tap into mercy. I'm going to go to the future, bring that grace and that mercy from the future into today. And I could get forgiveness of sins that others could not tap into. That means there's a revelation and there are mysteries that you can tap into that can give you a grace to do certain things that others have not yet tapped into. That is why many might judge ministers that move in the supernatural. No, they've been somewhere where you haven't been. Very simple. Are you guys with me? Very simple. They've been somewhere where you haven't been. So that's also my message. So then we get to Jesus Christ, and you see Jesus Christ ruling and reigning. But that's not my message. Where were we? Go with me to, I said royal blood, eh? Royalty. Royalty. So when you have royalty, it's in the blood. When you call somebody noble, it's in the blood. So I'm going to rush through. I need to finish this. This might take 2 weeks to repeat it over because it is a strong, it is a very difficult message, but it's going to set many free. Okay, Ecclesiastes, let's go to Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5. There is an evil I have seen under the sun as an error. Say with me, an error. Proceeding from the ruler, folly is set in great dignity. If I read fast through a scripture, that pieces are not important until I go slow. While the rich sit in a lowly place, I have seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. Meaning that he says that this, there's an error. This is broken. Because we are supposed to be the rulers. We are supposed to be the rich. Now we're going, we're begging the bank for this. We're begging the bank for that. We're doing this while we're supposed to be pushing money into the banks. There's an order that is wrong here. Are you guys with me? If Jesus said that we are kings and priests, why are other kings and priests ruling? There's an order that is wrong. He didn't say you are going to, for all those that are thinking, no, but I will be made. No. The Bible says you have been made kings and priests unto our God. And I'll go into more scripture right now. That means there's a rightful divine inheritance that you have to obtain. That'll cause you to occupy this world and occupy this earth. So let's go to John 8 verse 31. I'm gonna jump through many scriptures to just make a point. John 8 verse 31. So then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Many of you know that. Then he answered, we be Abram's seed. Then they answered, we be Abram's seed and were never in bondage to any man. He says, listen, we were free. And now you're saying you shall made us free? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever. Say with me, the son forever. Are you open for the word this morning? So I want you to catch some revelation. Okay, it's going to begin to drip more and more and more and more. But if you're going to miss it, then you're going to miss a moment of transformation. Say with me, royalty is in my blood. Say, a son is always in the house. Let's go to Galatians 4 verse 1. Are you a servant or are you a son? That was very doubtful, so let's carry on with the message. If you would have said son with all enthusiastic, I would have said we could go home. You know, so Galatians 4 verse 1. You clearly don't know your sonship. Galatians 4 verse 1. Now I say that the heir, say with me, an heir. He's not speaking of Jesus Christ. He's speaking of you. as long as he is a child, differs not from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Hold on. A child, he doesn't better differ from a servant, yet he is Lord of all. Let me change the translation so that you can understand what it's saying. Even though you are a child, you differ nothing from a servant. Though you are master and Lord of everything. Okay, we're going to get to what everything is. People are either getting too much revelation here, or they're too familiar here, or they're too much religion here. So verse 7 says, wherefore thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, you're an heir of God in Christ Jesus. So you're an heir. Let's go to Hebrews 1 verse 1. Hebrews 1 verse 1. I'm just going to read quickly. God, whose son dry times in diverse manners placed or spoke unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. Now listen to this. Whom he has appointed heir of all. Say with me. Of all things. By whom also he made the worlds. So there's nothing that is not subject to the rule of Christ. He has given us all things. Let's go further. Ephesians 1 verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and all these things. Verse 22. And he has put all things, say with you, all things, under his feet and gave him to be the head of the church. So all things are under Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me? It is time to understand that we are raised with Christ. We are heirs with Christ. Yet we are struggling to get our debt paid off. We are heirs with Christ. Yet we are struggling to pay our rent. We are heirs of Christ. Yet we are losing our job here and we don't know what to do. But we are heirs of Christ. And in Christ, everything is put under his feet. But we're going to go further. Are you guys with me? Meaning the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but it's Christ that brings life. And more abundantly. Meaning it is time to get into a place of living abundance. Many think it evil. You know, I ask people. Now I'm not going to get into that. That's going to be too controversial. It's going to be too controversial right now. Money is there for you to enjoy it. Money is there for you to enjoy it. Money is there for you to enjoy it. Money is there for you to enjoy. You have to catch it. Because people think money is evil. People think money is dirty. They think that if they touch money that now they are evil themselves. Get brainwashed. Get your mind renewed. That God blesses you for you to enjoy this life. Yes, to give to others and to be a blessing to others. But he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. So we need to understand that if he says that Jesus has everything under his feet, he wants to give you an abundant life. But now let's go back to Galatians 4 verse 1. Say, Jesus has everything under his feet. Now Galatians 4 verse 1 says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs not from a servant, although he is Lord of all. And he's not speaking of Jesus. He's speaking of you, saying that you are Lord of everything where you come in touch with. This is your heirloom. This is your heirloom, your heirship. This is your inheritance from Christ. This is what his blood has done. Are you guys with me? Now we're going to go deeper, because how do I get these things? And we're going to explain that now. So let's go to Ecclesiastes. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 10. 10 verse 5. You don't even have to put it up. You know, a lot of people don't get victory in this area. When they don't get victory in this area, when we don't get victory to understand our position in Christ, we become paupers. Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5 says, paupers, the princes are on, paupers are on horses and paupers are ruling, princes are walking, kings are walking. There's an evil I've seen under the sun as an error proceed from the ruler. Full is the great joy and dignity which is where the rich sit in low places. I've seen servants on horses. The one says, I've seen paupers on horses, while princes walk on the ground like paupers, like servants. So he says that if we don't understand this victory, you become a pauper. The moment you become a pauper, the land is in danger. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5, the land is in danger because kings are not in their rightful place. So when we are not in our rightful place, the land spiritually is in danger. Well, physically as well. Because people are not, and Christians who are the sons of God, whom the Bible says the whole earth is waiting in eager anticipation for the manifestation. The whole creation is waiting in eager anticipation for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the whole earth is crying out for you to understand your sonship. The whole earth is crying out for you to understand that you are God manifested. Anyway, we'll get to those scriptures now before you get freaked out. Are you guys with me? This is royalty. Say with me, this is royalty. Listen here, when the queen, like I said, if the king, if the prince messes up everything, the queen dies, they immediately crown him as king. He could be a nightclub before that. He could be messing around the day before. He is crowned or commenced that next day as king. Because royalty is in his blood. It is not in his actions. Are you guys with me? Nobility is in his blood. It is not in his actions. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 18. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 18. Oh my goodness, I'm going to do our best to get through this. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse 18. I'm going to do 18 and verse 22. For ye are not come, we have not come unto the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness and tempest, the mount of the law. But you have come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. And it goes on, and the spirits of just men, and we don't have to turn there or go there, but the spirits of just men and so on. But let's just stop there. Say with me, Zion. Mount Zion. So he says, we have not gone to Mount Sinai, where it was the law, and the mountain was burned with fire, and the mountain we could physically touch. We have not come unto there. We have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, where the spirits of just men are. He goes on and on and on. Listen here, the church is Mount Zion. I'll prove it to you. I know only two clapped hands for that one. Because people think we are marching, what, to Mount Zion or something, that song. And we are one day going, one day when we are dead, we're going to be by Zion. No. We are in Zion. I'll explain it to you now. And I can go through the whole parable of Matthew 21. I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. Where the vineyard, the householder planted the vineyard, and he sent his son, and, you know, his son goes, and there's a whole story of the husbandman, and like I said, I'm not going to explain it now. Let me just read from the last verse. Jesus said unto them, you don't have to put it on the screens. Jesus said, did you never read in scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, which is Jesus? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What is happening here? The kingdom was taken from some and given to us. It was given to the church. It's taken from the Jews, given to the church. Gentiles, those who just believed and they became the church. Are you guys with me? To those who will show fruits thereof. So the church is Mount Zion. Zion is a new group of people. It is the kingdom people of God. It is Zion as a church. So please don't think of Zion Church in Africa, in South Africa, but Zion is a church. Just, you know, have some people that can be confused. Okay. You have some ignoramuses. that can. So how shall, now listen to me, now I want to get to the point. How shall we be a king? How shall we be a son that we can abide in the house forever? How shall we be a king that we can rule and reign? And how shall we enter into Mount Zion? Go with me, Hebrews 12, verse 22. So this whole morning's message, I'm getting into this. Remember, say with you, royalty is in the blood. So Hebrews 12, 22 says the following. It says, but you come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and into numerous company of angels, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. We are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now, verse 24, I'm going to focus on. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things. So if he speaketh better things than that of Abel, than that of Abel speaketh better things. Let's go to Romans 8, verse 29. 8, verse 29. And you can, Romans 8, verse 32. And I'm just giving scriptures. If you want to sit and listen, you can do it. If you want to read the screens, or you can write down the scripture references. So it says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, say with me, freely, give us all things. I don't know if you are getting it. Because he says, I put all things under the feet of Jesus twice. But now when it comes to you, to whom my son was delivered to us up us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things, everything? Are you guys with me? For who shall lay a thing in the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is the one that condemns? It is Christ that died. He says, let no one condemn you. Let no one speak guilt to you. Let no one feel you bad and saying you're bad as a Christian like this or you're bad as a Christian. He says, Christ died for you, and that is it. And who also makes intercession for us. So freely we are given all things. Are you guys with me? Freely we are given all things. He makes intercession for us. And we can see in Galatians 4 verse 1, we are freely given all things. Hebrews 1 verse 1, Ephesians 1 verse 20, we are given all things. Let's go to Hebrews 12 verse 24. Hebrews 12 verse 24. So I'm jumping through scriptures. You'll see maybe I go one after the other, but a little bit back and forth, because I'm just connecting some words. And this stupid thing keeps jumping around here. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling speaks better things than that of Abel. I read this to you earlier. So Jesus' blood is speaking. So if Jesus' blood is speaking, that means Jesus making intercession, as we just read. So Jesus' blood is making intercession, or Jesus making intercession for us, that we might receive and not refuse his blood. I'm going to show you now what happens when we refuse his blood. Are you guys with me? Because you can receive. So he's in prayer and intercession. His blood is speaking better things in heaven right now. Speaking. And there's a voice from his blood coming from heaven that I'll explain later in the scripture. And there's a voice of the blood coming from the earth. But we have to listen to the voice of the blood coming from heaven, interceding for us, that we may not refuse that blood coming from heaven, but that we may receive it. So why must we receive it? So that we can freely have all things, so that we can rule and reign as kings. Just one out of seven things that I'm still going to give you, that the blood does for you. Are you guys with me? So let's go to Genesis 4 verse 8. We have to come to the blood of the sprinkling, as the Bible speaks. Genesis 4 verse 8. It says, now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto him, where is Abel thy brother? I know I'm reading fast, because this is not the point. And he said, I know I'm not, but am I your brother's keeper? And he said, blah, 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 blah. And then he says this, the voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. So blood has a voice that can cry. Job 16 verse 18, put it up very quickly. Job 16 verse 18. It says, O earth, cover not thou my blood, and let my cry have no place. This is a prophecy by Job about Christ's blood. He says, listen, your Abel's blood had the ability to cry. But when it comes to my blood, there's a prophecy. He says, earth, do not cover my blood. Let it go to heaven. Don't give it a place to cry. give it to heaven. Don't cover it. Let the earth release my blood and go up to heaven. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. That is why when Jesus was raised from the dead, that he said, listen here, I am flesh and bones. I am blood. If you cut me now, I'm flesh and bones. Does a ghost have flesh and bones? I have blood. And I take this body and I'm going to heaven. He was not given an incorruptible body the way we think it is. He was given his body so that earth could not swallow his blood. So that the prophecy of Job 16, wherever it was, Job 16 verse 18 can come to pass, where he said, earth, cover not my blood and let my cry have no place. Meaning, send my blood to heaven. Because my blood needs to cry and speak from heaven. Are you guys with me? Abel's blood spoke from the earth. Jesus' blood speaks from heaven. Abel's blood was sucked in by the earth and there was a great shaking because it was the first murder that took place. And his blood began to cry out and the earth began to cry out for vengeance. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 12 verse 24. So Jesus' blood became a witness in heaven. Abel's blood became a witness on the earth. So Hebrews 12, 24 says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, see that you refuse not. So if you refuse not. Refuse what? The voice. Refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused by the spoke of earth, much more shall not we not escaped if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So he says, there's a speaking of a blood that comes from heaven that I want you to not refuse. Are you guys with me? The voice of the blood of Christ is from heaven. He says, don't refuse it. Why should you not refuse it? Because there's royalty in the blood. Very simple. There's blood on the earth that cried out for vengeance, but there's blood in the heavens that are speaking better things towards you. A better things we're going to get into now. What are the better things that the blood is speaking? The blood is even is crying out for you. Are you guys with me? What is the blood for? What is this blood speaking about? Or let me say, what is the better things it is speaking about? Are you guys getting it? Are you guys with me? I'm maybe 1/10 of the way into the thing here. I still need to do another 9 parts. We're going to try to be finished by 10. That's why I'm just going quickly through you. I hope you can catch it. If you're not catching it, we can recap it always. But I mean, we can just do. But I want you to catch it. I know it's a lot. Please watch it afterwards. This revelation will set you free in so many areas. It is to do with the mind of Christ. It's to give you a royal mind. The mind of the anointed. How does the mind of the anointed think and see? So Jesus, the first thing to see that Jesus was not a man. He was not born of a man. When the Bible says that Mary begot, this one begot that one in Matthew 1, this one begot that one, this one begot that one. It came to Joseph and it says, and Joseph, husband to Mary. And then it goes on. It doesn't say Joseph begot because Joseph isn't his earthly father. Because the moment it would have said Joseph begot, his kingship would have been removed. The blood comes from the father. So then we can carry on in the and we can see the story of the conception with the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary saying, this is Jesus. This is the Son of God. And it goes on and on. And so we see that Jesus did not carry human blood in him. His blood was determined by his Father in heaven. So your blood determines your destiny. Your blood determines your royalty. Your blood determines which direction you will go. Your blood, your physical blood will determine whether you will be sick or not. Your physical blood will determine whether you are weak into some things or not. Your spiritual blood will determine your destiny. Your spiritual blood will determine you, because blood is alive. Blood is one of those things that moves in two dimensions. They can take blood and use it as a sacrifice, and yet there's power. Are you guys with me? And we have blood that can be in our bodies and it can give us life. There's power. There's blood that is in heaven that is speaking. There's blood that is on earth that is speaking. It's the same blood. What I mean, it's blood is blood. So blood is a technology that can go between the spiritual and the natural. Okay? Are you guys with me? So every Christian knows that Jesus' blood was shed and was dealt with sin. So we can go to all these things. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 11. So he's saying we should not refuse the blood. Hebrews 9, 11. It says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats, don't worry about all of that, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, listen to this, say with me, eternal redemption. But you know, I can backslide and you know, now I crash my car and I need to get saved again. Now I steal some money out of the till where I was working. Now I need to go, you need to repent, yes, but now I need to go get saved again. You know, and we go through this thing where we say we are unsaved, saved, unsaved, saved, unsaved, saved. Why am I preaching the gospel that I'm preaching? Because you cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose something you never even could God and get in the first place. Your salvation is eternal. You have been eternally redeemed by his blood. Sin is not the issue. The issue is, have I accepted Jesus Christ? Sin has been dealt with. The Bible says he washed the sins of the whole world. In the propitiation of the sins, he washed the sins of the whole world. But if I don't tap into Jesus Christ, that washing is doing nothing for me. But he has already paid the price. He has already done it. It's now just a matter of fact of me pressing into it, receiving Christ. Hell is not made for sin. Hell is not made for sinners. Hell is made for the devil and his demons and unbelievers. Now, are you guys with me? You will never be judged for your sins. You will be rewarded for what you have done. There will not be a day that you will stand in front of a throne and be judged. You know, you spoke this idle word and you don't know. You know, and everybody goes back to the scripture that every idle word we shall give an account. They don't know what they're talking about. Either he came to make a complete work, but you know, but what if I sin you? Why am I not going to be judged? Because when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees the blood of his son covering you, the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that lived a sinless, perfect life. And when he sees his son, he doesn't even see Peter, he doesn't see this one, he doesn't see John, he just says, you can enter. He doesn't look at anything that you have done. Then he looks at rewards and he begins to give you rewards. So what are we looking forward to? We're not looking forward to a judgment. We are looking forward to a prize giveaway. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This is what the Bema seat was all about. People preach the Bema seat and say it's going to be judgment. No. The Bema seat is a prize giveaway because you finish the race of life. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So the eternal redemption. So is a naughty prince still a prince? Okay. Huh? That took you long to answer. Come on, what's their names? They're naughty. You know, so they're still princes. It will mess with a lot of people's religion, what I'm saying to you. Trust me, it'll mess with a lot of people's religion. Let's go on. I want to get to a point. Hebrews 9 verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, don't worry about this, I'm just reading quickly through this, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the pure of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God. Now listen to this. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So number one, what does the blood do? What does the blood do? It gives you, say with me, eternal redemption. I want you to write that down as number one. The blood gives you eternal redemption. Number two, it cleans your conscience. There's no amen on that one. Because your conscience is so dirty. It's so guilty. If you have a guilty conscience, you have refused the blood. If you have a condemned conscience, you have refused the speaking of the blood coming from heaven. How do I receive the blood? By faith. Through grace. By God's grace, He gives me, I get access to the blood. Then the blood does a few things. The blood gives me eternal redemption. Number two, it cleans my conscience. I said last week, since I renewed my mind, the blood made its work on my mind. It took me 2 years. I have never had one thought, not one thought of I want to kill myself. Or I'm not going to make it. Not one thought of, oh, that one is thinking this and now I feel so bad. Not one thought of rejection. Not one thought of anger. Are you guys with me? And I'm not saying I have no sin. But there's no thoughts. Why? Because I have renewed and got the mind of Christ into me. The mind of the anointed. I don't have time to think about all these stupid things that people are thinking about. You know, when your mind is renewed, you're not worried about the things of the world. You're focused on the things of God, on the kingdom of God. I don't have time to sit that's just me. No, I don't have time to go sit at some rugby game with some friends of mine that were friends in the world, and now I must just go do it. I'm sitting by them, and for what nonsense? Have I forgotten who I am? If I go to win them, that's fine, but win them. Don't go and come back drunk and, I forgot to win them. You're going to evangelize, go and evangelize. Or you're going there for enjoyment. When your mind is renewed, things shift, things change. It changes. I never understood that. I mean, it took me, I was now probably for about 4 weeks in a meditative state. Just to hear what God is saying. 4 weeks, I was just silent, still in my spirit. And I could sit for 8 hours, 9 hours through the night, late, like Isley will tell you, till late, you know, I'll go to bed. And I'm just sitting and I'm looking into the things that angels are looking into. And I'll explain you now out of scripture. And I'm just looking because God told me something that is going to happen. And I have to see it to bring it to pass. I'll get into that in the next session. You know, I have to see it to bring it to pass. If you can't see it, you can't be it. So I have to meditate and work with prophetic imagination and see in order to bring a next move, a new revelation, a thing that God is doing with our church. And I would just sit silent. You know, then my spirit leaves my body. I also travel to different places. No, but in all seriousness, you visit places. And I just, you know, I was just people in their ignoramus, grade one Christianity. You know, grade one. So the blood gives you eternal redemption, a clear conscience. Are you guys with me? I need to hurry up. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. He that despised Moses, Lord, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. But now listen to this. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose you, shall be, just remember these words, thought worthy. Say with me, thought worthy. Who trodden under the foot of the Son of God and hath counted the blood of covenant. So we see, if we carry on with that verse and put it in context, that God doesn't want to punish you. But you want to be thought worthy of punishment. I'm going to say it again. God doesn't want to punish you. His anger stopped at the cross. The war was over at the cross. His anger ceased with His Son. I know some people don't like this. Because we try to think God is angry because we are angry. No, stop putting your nonsense on God. God's anger ceased at the cross. Mercy triumphs judgment. Are you guys with me? His anger ceased. His punishment towards you ceased. Unless you are unsaved and then you go according to the law of what has been put in. But it is, we think we are thought worthy. We think we are, in our thoughts we make ourselves worthy of punishment. So our thoughts convict us, our thoughts condemn us. And the moment our thoughts convict us and our thought condemns us, the blood cannot be accepted, the blood cannot do its work, and we refuse the blood. Are you guys with me? And even if you don't, even if you do refuse the blood and you don't accept it, it doesn't mean you are not saved, because you might have been a Christian saved, but you just can't experience that better things, the better life that the blood is speaking about. And you've given your life to Christ. You're just going to have a miserable life. You're going to walk around in sin. You're going to get into a lot of more sin. You're going to have a miserable life. You'll make heaven one day, but you're going to have a miserable life. But you have to have Christ. Are you guys with me? Please understand, I don't touch or preach on universalism. That is a heresy. So when we say that you cannot lose your salvation, that's not universalism. That is just Bible. You cannot. How can God not do a complete work in you? How is God so unable? God, who created the heavens and the earth, everything He created is good, yet except salvation. There He made a mistake. There He half saved us. Okay. These are things that I had to question and find the truth and the answers on, because, you know, that is just, curiosity never killed the cat. Curiosity brought revelation. So then I have to go find answers in the scripture, and I have to go sit with elders, and I have to work through things and realize, okay, was my doctrine right or not? Because where the word is preached, there must be signs. If there's not signs, the word is not preached in truth. So we look at the churches that don't have signs, wonders, and miracles. If there is nothing, see, now I'm teaching you, but if I have to ramp it up, we can have demons screaming out here very quickly. But I'm teaching you the word. But why? If nothing happens, if you get to a church and there's no signs, you watching online, there's no signs, no miracles, are they preaching the truth? Because signs will follow the preaching of the word being in truth. Like somebody said, if you preach and there's no healing, you might be preaching another Jesus. If you preach and there's no deliverance, you might be preaching another Jesus. That's where Paul says, if anyone brings another gospel, let him be accursed. So what about all these beautiful pastors that are preaching and nothing is happening? Not getting anybody delivered, not getting anybody set free, not getting anybody healed. Are they preaching another Jesus? Are you guys with me? Okay. Because Jesus didn't change His message. So Romans 5 is, I read to you, where were we now? Romans 5 verse 8. Put on Romans 5 verse 8. Or did I read that? Romans 5 verse 8. But God commanded His love towards us, that while we were sinners, yet Christ died. Much more than being now, so if we justified. So now we see that we are justified. He says that we are being now justified. Not that you are going to be. So we see the blood brought eternal redemption. It brought a clear conscience. And then we see in that scripture, I didn't read over it, but it says it brought us near to Him, gave us access to Him. And then number four, it justifies. So if it justifies. So eternal redemption, clear conscience, brought us near to Him and then justified us. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 8. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 8. 5 verse 8, and I'm going to read quickly and just pause by pieces that I feel is important. For if they were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about all of that. By whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, listen to this, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So because one man sinned, you all sinned. Are you guys with me? We sometimes believe that more than the next part of the scripture. One man sinned, we all sinned. But he says, I'm going to jump further to verse 15 somewhere. Verse 15. For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of God, which by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. Let's jump to verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, death became king by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life, shall be kings in life by one, Jesus Christ. He says, because of Jesus Christ, you shall rule and you shall reign and you shall be a king in this life. He said, listen here, sin was king, but the picture changed. The moment Christ went to the cross, you became king. You began to rule on this life. That means why you're struggling to pay your debt, why you're struggling to buy a car, why you're struggling to do this. If you are a king, if you have royalty in your blood. But Leon, how do I do this now? Revelation. Catch this revelation this morning. To say that by faith, I receive His blood. By His blood, there's things that's happening to me. It is eternal, it's eternal redemption. It is being clear conscience. It is being brought near to Him. I am justified. Are you guys with me? I am being justified. So Adam dumped us into sin. Christ dumped us into righteousness. Adam dumped us into death. Christ dumped us into life. I don't care how good you think you are or how good your parents got brought up. You were dumped in Adam. You were dumped in sin. You were born in Adam. You're dead, full of sin, and you need Christ. Are you guys with me? So Romans 5:18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness, listen to this, of one, the free gift, certainly the free gift, came upon all men unto justification of life. So he says the free gift, what is this free gift that came upon men? It is to reign in life, that you are justified, that you are, it's a free gift. Remember, I said earlier that He freely given us all things. Are you guys with me? So who reigns as kings? Who reigns? Or let me say it like this. Who reigns? Kings reign. Are you guys with me? Kings reign. Revelation 5 verse 9 to 10 said, and sung a new song saying, they are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, all who were slain, and have redeemed us to God by your blood. So we were redeemed by His blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Now listen to this. And have made us, say have made us, kings and priests. Say it again, say kings and priests to our God. And we shall reign on the earth. Not that you will be made kings. He has made you kings so that you will reign. Kings don't beg, kings rule, kings reign. Kings never leave their domain. Come on, are you guys with me? So don't refuse the blood. What does the blood do? It makes you a king. Are you guys with me? Let me, I want to get into a few more things. See if I can get this point to you, then we're done. 1 Peter 1 verse 11. 1 Peter 1 verse 11. I know it's a lot of verses. I hope you're okay. Another church, I would have lost them at the first verse. 1 Peter 1 verse 11. I'm going to read through a bit here, but I'm going to stop where it is important. So they sought to find out to whom or when, actually all of it is important, but this, you can just listen. For whom, when this was to come, which the Spirit of Christ working within them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow them. It was then disclosed to them that the services they were rendering were not meant for themselves and their period of time, but for you. Now, Peter is speaking to his people. He says, it is these very things which have now already been made known plainly to you by those who preach the good news to you by the same Holy Spirit sent from heaven. But what is he saying? He's saying, listen, these are things that need to be made plainly to you. Peter is speaking about mysteries and a mystery. Are you guys with me? And he says, into this mystery, look at the next sentence. Into these things, the very angels long to look. They were not allowed to look into the things that was preached to you. They were not allowed to look into the things that Peter is speaking about. He says, the things that you receive, angels long to look into it. Now, just hold on. So, verse 13. So, brace up your mind. Say with me, brace up your mind. So, brace up my mind, meaning get your thinking right. I want you to start thinking this way, that angels desire to see the mystery of godliness that is in you. Let's go 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Quickly, 1 Timothy 3:16. Listen to this. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Preach unto Gentiles, believed on in the whole world, received up in glory. Meaning that great is the mystery of God. The mystery of godliness. Angels are looking into this mystery that Peter is trying to say to them. That, hey, we have this divine nature, that we are partakers of this divine nature. That everything has been given to us. This mystery that you are divine. This mystery that you are the image and the likeness of God. You're made in the image and the likeness of God. This mystery that it is now Christ in you, the hope of glory. Angels are looking into it because angels saw Jesus being born in the manger. And as he was born, they looked at him. And the Bible says they looked and they began to sing and sang glory. Meaning the angels were excited because they saw God in the flesh. And now, once again, Peter is saying, the angels are beginning to look into your life because they are looking and seeing godliness in flesh, divinity in flesh, the image and the likeness of God in flesh, a gospel being preached that we are being conformed to the image of the Son. That even though he is the firstborn of many, that he is the first one, but we are the many that's coming behind him. That it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Are you guys with me? He says, angels desire, they long to look into this thing. Meaning angels are looking and the whole creation is eagerly awaiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Meaning the rocks are crying out. The trees are shaking. Earthquakes are taking place. Why? Not only because of prophecy. No, no, no. These things are taking place because the earth is groaning. They are waiting for men to walk in their sonship, for women to walk in their sonship. The sons of God walking in the power that they've been given for the manifestation of the sons of God. Are you guys with me? Have your seats, have your seats. It will be very unfair to God to call yourself human. It'll be a slap in the face to him to call yourself human. Because the Bible says that when it says that he has made you a new creation, a new creature, all things have passed away and all things have been made new. That word creation, that word creature is kainos. The word kainos is very mystical. It means a superhuman. Never existed before being a supernatural being. That's what it means, kainos. So he says, I have made you a kainos. I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm just even going into the Greek. Don't be offended. Are you guys with me? This should give you revelation to say, man, nothing is impossible. Now I can finally understand the scripture that says nothing is impossible with Christ. Because beforehand I would think, okay, I would need to be with Christ. I need to pray so many hours. Now I'm with Christ. Now nothing will be impossible. But now my prayer is not only 2 hours. It isn't 12 hours. No, no, no. This mystery that Christ is in us, the hope of glory, is no longer I who live, but it is Christ that dwells inside of me. It is Christ. I am crucified with him. It is Christ that dies and lives inside of me. It's no longer I who live. So it's no longer I, it is Christ. So when I walk into a shop, it is no longer I, it is Christ. That is why nothing is impossible with Christ. So catch this revelation. Are you guys with me? Revelation is the beginning of a transition, a new season. So let's go further. So we can go further. 1 Peter 1 verse 18, I don't know how much time, says that we were redeemed and purchased by the blood, that we were redeemed from all useless and fruitless lives. I'm just jumping through it. This precious, this is for everybody that obviously believes in deliverance. Listen, you were redeemed already. These people that are saying, I need to go for deliverance over and over and over. And it's the same devil over and over and over. Renew your mind, brother. Are you guys with me? The blood has redeemed you. But there's, you know, there's diabetes in my family and there's this and that. No. When it says the blood has redeemed us, it says he has redeemed you from the useless and fruitless life of your forefathers. So the blood has cut you off from your forefathers. Every sickness in your DNA, every sickness in your genetics. But I have to get a revelation. I cannot refuse the blood speaking from heaven. I have to be able to accept the blood speaking from heaven. Let's go to Joel chapter number 3 verse 21 quickly. I'm going to have 5 minutes and I need to rush. Joel 3:21. And I will cleanse and hold as innocent their blood and avenge it. Blood which I have not cleansed, held innocent and avenged. For the Lord dwells in Zion. I'm going to read it again. I will cleanse and hold as innocent their blood and avenge it. Blood which I have not cleansed, held innocent and avenged, for the Lord dwells in Zion. So he's saying, in Zion, I will cleanse the blood. In Zion, I will forgive the blood. In Zion, I'll do the work in the blood. We have not come to a mount that is can be touched. Mount Sinai burned with fire, the mount of the law, but we have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, a place of innumerable angels, the spirits of just men. Are you guys with me? So he's saying, listen here, there was a time where the blood wasn't working, but there's a place and a time where the blood is working. And the moment we enter into Mount Zion, the moment we accept Jesus Christ, his blood begins to work for us. Let's go to Ephesians 2 verse 13. Ephesians 2 verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, so they far off, have been brought near. Let's go to Isaiah 33 verse 13. Say far off, brought near. Here, you who were far off, what have I done? And you who are near, acknowledge my might. Meaning, what has God done? What has he done to those who are far off and are brought near now? And those who are near, what has he done to them? What has he done for them? Let's go to Isaiah 32 verse 1. So this is what he has done. He says, behold, a king will reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Now remember Ecclesiastes 10 verse 5. Kings will walk on the ground, and princes will walk while the chariots are being ridden by paupers and servants, and the horses are ridden by paupers and servants, and servants are sitting on the throne. Kings are amongst the paupers, or amongst the servants, and there's no justice in the land. And he says, but wait, there's a place called Zion. There's a place where my blood works, and this is what I will do. He says that, behold, I will again make a king reign in righteousness, and princes will rule with justice. Meaning, I'm bringing my rulership and my kingship back into my people in Mount Zion. I'm setting up Mount Zion that is contrary to Mount Sinai, which is the church of the living God. That once you come into the church, it is opposite to the government. It is opposite to the world system. In my church, you are kings. You are priests made unto God. Are you guys with me? So what happens in Zion? So listen, this means that, say I am a king. This means you don't have to take people and say, God, can you be the king? No. You are a king. You are a shelter. You are the one who gives. You are the one who covers. So what happens in Zion? What happens in Zion? You can keep standing. Isaiah 33 verse 24. Put on Isaiah 33 verse 24. What happens in Zion? I know it was a long teaching, but I'm sure you would get something out of it. Isaiah 33 verse 24. And the inhabitants will not say, I am sick. The people who dwell in it will be forgiven their iniquity and guilt. I'm going to read it again. And no inhabitant of Zion will say, I am sick. You will not say, I am sick. Every iniquity, every guilt is forgiven. Every dead conscience in your work, the blood has done its full work. So in Zion, there is no sickness. Where is Zion? Say with me, the church. You have been redeemed. The blood has made you whole. There's no iniquity against you. There's no guilt or sin against you. You are dwelling in Zion. This is a place where nobody runs sick, nobody is hungry, nobody's in need, because you carry the fullness. Jesus says, I do not live by bread alone, but I live by every word of God that proceeds out of His mouth. So what does the blood do? I'll close off with this. What does the blood do? Number one, say with me, eternal redemption. Number two, say clear conscience. Number three, say brought us near. Brought us near to Him. He gave us access. Number four, say justified. We are justified. Number five, say we are made as kings to reign. And number six, He has brought us into Zion, into full healing, no sin, a place of victory. And I'm going to clarify this again. You don't have a sin problem. You have a mind problem. You don't have a sin problem. You have a thought problem. Sin has been dealt with on the cross. Your conscience convicts you of thoughts because your conscience hasn't been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the dead works of your conscience hasn't been dealt with, but sin has been dealt with. There is no sin problem. Trust me. These preachers that I keep saying there's a sin problem are putting people under bondage. In no way am I saying you can go and have a license to sin. This message will set you free that you would not want to sin. You'll say, but this news is so good. It is too good to be true news. This is too good to be true. I have done nothing. I don't need to do anything. And you're telling me I'm still going to heaven. I just need to believe and accept Jesus Christ. And everything is done. Yes. Do you need deliverance? Yes. We take people through deliverance. But you are complete. Nothing missing, nothing lacking. A full person being matured in the house, in the church. Are you guys with me? And once you understand the fullness of God in you, the anointing will be on you at your home, because this message will make you reach people on a Monday and a Tuesday if it catches the revelation that this is too good to be true news. This is something that I need to tell somebody else. You need to evangelize to other Christians because they're in so much bondage. Just being preached at their church, this one is bad, this one is bad, this one is law. You know when a preacher stands like this and he begins to preach against people, demons come out like this out of the mic, goes into the congregation members, goes towards those people. There's a conference. Apostle David, I'm going to send him there. There's a conference around the corner where one of the subjects is Encounter Church, you know. So, the subject is Encounter Church a cult? And it's a big pastoral symposium. So one of our friends, theologian friends, he's the one presenting. So he's taking the subject. So he said, Leon, it's going to be so good. So many are now literally almost sometimes, well, we believe there might even be a case study done on Encounter. But anyway. Say with me, I want to be free from the laws of religion and tradition and man. I want to be free. I want the yoke to be lifted. Clear conscience. Eternal redemption. That I don't have to worry for a future judgment, but look forward to a future reward system. If I'm a believer in Christ, there is no hell. There's an earth to occupy, to take over. As Jesus says, occupy till I come. Come on, raise your hands, raise your hands, raise your hands. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Let the anointing, let the glory of God be their rear guard. Protect them and cover them in Jesus' mighty name.